Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is the quick hit for Chicago Night 2. I'm here with Mike, whose link to his Twitter bio will be in the notes. Hey Mike.
How's it going?
Good, good. I know you had a long trip over the last 24 hours, but went from Kentucky back to Chicago and then back?
That's correct. Was it too long? Only about 4.5 hours. So okay. It's not as far as it seems.
Not bad. And how was the show overall?
Yeah, it was a very interesting show. You know, as the show was going on, I knew I was going to be talking to you, so I was kind of trying to look at it from a different perspective. And the first set was very unremarkable. And then the second set, it was just such a curveball that I was like, okay, what am I going to say about this? Because it just was completely unexpected, you know, the way it developed.
Yeah, the first set had, like you said, you know, nothing really notable. I liked the, I always like hearing The Wedge and Halfway to the Moon. Those are two of my favorite sort of, you know, first set songs. And The Wingsuit was pretty solid. But yeah, nothing like, no bust outs, nothing crazy, just like some pretty, you know, solid standard first set stuff. Is there any highlights from set one that you find yourself going back to today?
Well, I haven't had a chance to listen to the show again. I'm actually going to download it as soon as we get off this call. But I would say, you know, from like just observing the crowd, when Martian Monster started up, that was when the crowd really got excited. And I just read online that a few people thought that was the first time they kind of really let loose in the show and that might have led to the jams of the second set. I don't know if that's true. I'll have to check it out myself here shortly.
Nice.
But that was probably the thing that got the crowd the most hyped, I would say.
That makes sense. And then set two, like you said, it's pretty interesting set. The opener, I thought was a cool opener, Corona, which was the Fish debut, but not something probably expected or even necessarily recognized probably by a lot of people.
Yeah, and I would put myself in that camp. I'm not up on Trey stuff currently.
Yep.
So the song was kind of familiar. I mean, if it wasn't for Twitter, I would have not known what it was. But yeah, I would say the crowd was pretty a little shell-shocked with that because I was maybe hoping for like a Chalk Dust, something along those lines. And I think the crowd was maybe hoping for something to really get the energy up. And I don't know that did it. So I think Simple was at least something everyone knew, you know. So that was kind of a pivotal moment. I remember thinking to myself, okay, this could turn into the signature jam for the show, or it could go a different direction. And I guess we know what happened from there. So
yeah. So what was that like for you, where you were with your group? I mean, were people just totally into it the whole time? Were people expecting it to go into different directions? What was your kind of take on how that evolved?
Well, by the time that point of the show rolled around, my wife and I had kind of walked back into the lawn a little further back there at Northerly Island, which is a very interesting venue if you've never been there. It was like totally flat. So the sight lines were not good, but I was actually very impressed with the sound farther back. You could almost hear it better.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah, I mean, it was not my favorite venue, but, you know, being as it's in the middle of Chicago, you could kind of walk to your hotel. That was pretty cool. So I would go back. But nice. I think that, you know, it was almost like Simple. They went in a little type two jam, I mean, you know, around 10 minutes. And then it was like it just stopped. And then they started back up into this heavy metal jam that was just totally different. And I think I just got really interested at that point. And I could kind of tell the people around me were like, okay, what is this? Where are we going? And, you know, I could have swore that it was a long intro to Timber at one point. To the point where I texted my buddy, David, and I was like, man, is this Timber? And he texted me back. He's like, that's what I was thinking too. So, and
definitely sounded
2 minutes
like
later, yeah, we're like, I guess not. So, I think just the best word I could use to describe that was just interesting. And I feel like with the Baker's Dozen coming up, especially Fish is going to have to really do something kind of different and explore in a way they haven't done it before. And I feel like that last night's show was a springboard to that. Cause to me, that was something I've never really heard fish do anything like that before, you know, in many, many years of listening to them. So I think that maybe they were, I don't know if it just happened or they kind of planned to go in this different direction and see where it went, but I really almost expect there to be more of that, you know, as we go through this summer tour moving forward.
Nice. That's great. Yeah. It was a pretty, complicated jam really. I mean, in terms of the different, direction and all that, I feel like if I had been there, I've been there for sort of like the Dick Simple from 2014 and some other jams like that, where it took me several times of going back to listening to it to actually like fully kind of understand it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I still don't really know what I heard, so I can't wait to listen to it again. Yeah. That whole second set, because there was other highlights as well, like later in that set that I'm sure you want to mention.
Yeah. So well, let's go. And I definitely did hear the that sort of timber like jam, and there's some heavy metal stuff, like you said. There's a lot going on there. What else in the second set stood out for you?
The Winter Queen was not exactly what I was hoping for at that point. Again, when I re-listened to it, I might feel different about it, but I'm always a big fan of Light, so I was really happy to hear that. And you know, they didn't go too far off into Light, but I think that the little jam they settled into was what I would kind of characterize as my favorite type of jamming, typically the Fish does, so that was cool. Nice. I was into that. Then the transition, sorry, I can't say that word very well, transition to Synths was good. Again, not a huge fan of that particular song, but that being said, where it went was off the charts. I mean, I can't wait to re-listen to that jam as well, because I felt like it was exceptional. And the cool thing was is that there was fireworks started going off at the Navy Pier.
Oh, cool.
As that jam really built, and through the transition to Cities and during Cities, fireworks kept going off, and it was pretty symbolic, you know. I felt like of like this grand culmination of this hour-long journey they took us on with the fireworks going off. It was a pretty cool visual.
Yeah, that's amazing. I liked the Synths a lot. There was the Synths, the Light, and obviously the Simple. They all had pretty developed jams, you know. It seemed like Trey was really into it, which is awesome. And then a really smooth segue into Cities, and then another segue, less of a segue, into Slave. But it looks like on the fish.net set list, at least, that they're all, the entire set from Corona through Slave was all segues, so that's kind of cool. Don't see that all the time.
Right, that's good.
And the Slave, I love the song, obviously, but just seeing it under the lights outdoors in the summer is just a pretty nice special thing. Did you feel that?
Yeah, you can't really ask for a better closer, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, after a set like that, like you said, outside under the stars, the lake is nearby, fireworks going off. It's hard to feel bad at a time like that, you know?
Yeah. And you, I know you mentioned before that, and of course there's a Loving Cup encore, which I think is always welcomed, even if it's not the most, you know, unique encore, but at least it's a rockin' song.
Absolutely.
They've been playing as an encore for forever. Are you heading to one or two more shows after this?
Yeah, I'm making a stop here at home for a couple of days, and I'm just going to hit Dayton. So that's not too far of a drive for me. And I'm still mad that I missed the 97 Dayton show. I went to a few other shows that tour, and I skipped the Dayton because it was on like a Sunday night or something. I might add class on Monday. So I wasn't going to miss it this time. So I'm going up there, and I have some pretty high hopes for that show. But, you know, I'll try to temper my expectations between now and then.
Yeah, that's funny, because I did go to that Dayton 97 show. I'm not going this year, but I definitely had my first college exam ever on that next morning at Ohio State, and and I went anyway, and I got home at 2 in the morning or something, you know, to my dorm, and then I got up at 7 and went and took an exam, and I graduated from college.
How'd that
so, you know.
I was going to say, how'd the exam go? You can't even remember, but you remember the show, right?
I don't remember the exam. I remember the show. But that's awesome. I'm glad. I know you have kids, and it's nice to be able to just get to a couple shows if you can. So that's nice that they're coming through the Midwest en route to MSG, or you might not have been able to see any shows this tour.
Yeah, I was excited when they added these top shows, that's for sure. So I knew I could get to a couple of them.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, and I think we should. I actually found an audience version of the the simple from last night. So if it makes sense to you, we can throw the whole thing out there.
I think that sounds perfect.
Awesome. Mike, thank you so much for joining, and we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yay!